All right, so Sandy preached last week. It's confession time. Who was here? Show of hands if you were here last week. Yep. Doesn't matter if you weren't, but if you just put your hands up, that's when the pressure's on. Okay, ready? Sandy preached, to my best understanding, on the idea of fasting with, he used the acronym FOCUS. Yep. So, here's the question. Yeah. How many of you thought, I'm going to do a fast this week and fasted something this week? Show of hands, just one at a time. Yeah. Oh, good. Two. And Megs, you got it double barrel at Burley yesterday, like last week too. I know, right? Absolutely. So last week I preached on fasting in Burley. And in the middle of the sermon, I made a statement that the moment it left my lips, I thought, what have I just said? The statement was something like, this week I'm going to fast food the entire week and just drink water. And the problem with that statement is that people heard it. And so I stepped down from preaching with this fear and trepidation of, oh my goodness. I've been thinking about it for a while. I've been praying about it for a while. I thought I was ready, but it's not till you pull the trigger that you know it's real. And doing that, I was like, oh my goodness. Gosh, what have I done? But I survived. I'm still here. 7 days, no food, only water, and a little bit later, some electrolytes, because it turns out you can't just drink water. It's dangerous. Anyway, we'll get into that. So what I want to do today is share some of my surface learnings, the things that are just interesting about fasting, but then I want to share some of the deeper things God has taught me that I hope will encourage you in your faith and encourage you into a space of fasting, whether that's food or something else. For some of you, think it can't be food for medical reasons or for health reasons, but it can be something else. So that's what I want you to think about. It was a little bit daunting because when you stop eating, your mind doesn't quite function how it normally functions, but you might think that's normal. So yesterday morning, I found myself in an ABC radio interview hoping that I wouldn't say something that I thought was appropriate, but actually would have turned out to be completely inappropriate. And others have said, well, we're looking forward to church this week because you might say something that's completely inappropriate that you think's inappropriate. So this is going to be good. Pull out the popcorn. So the last 7 days have been extremely interesting. I'm very much looking forward to food, and I'm very much looking forward to never drinking water again. It's helpful, but there's nothing special about that substance, is it? No, it's. I discovered through fasting that your body requires sodium and potassium and magnesium to function. That's where electrolytes come in, and without those, you start to get really sick and your headache and cramps and all the rest of it. And so, you would have thought that I would have done some pre-research work, but no, that's not me. I'm just jump in, let's go. And so, through the middle, I'm like, I'm feeling crash hot, and I do a bit of research. I'm like, I need some electrolytes. So I started with just salt. And one of the challenges of salt is if you have too much salt, you get tummy issues. If you have not enough salt, your body starts to ache and rebel against. And so I went from this tummy issues, aching body, tummy issues, aching body. I'm like, this is just wonderful, this fasting thing. Over 3 nights, it became impossible to sleep at night because your body is just aching and you think, I'll just have some salt, but it has a delay effect. And so you just live with this ache, and it happened again last night. And as I was pondering, I was like, this is what people feel like who live with pain. Like, you live with pain 24/7, that before that experience, I'm like, well, once you go to sleep, you're okay. You kind of have a respite. But getting to sleep when you're in pain was a fascinating insight and experience for me. So 7 days I had, I was like, how on earth do you do 7 days? Just mentally, like when everybody else in your world is still eating. It's very inconsiderate of everybody else in the world that they're still eating. And so I found it helpful to go, I just need to get through this day. Just this day. That's all I have to do this day. And then tomorrow we'll reset and we'll go again. It's kind of reminiscent of Jesus' words in Matthew 6. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body or what you'll wear. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to their life? Let tomorrow take care of itself. I also discovered that I really love food, like a lot. Like, I really love food, and I think about food way more than I ever realized. It's like, I do not think about food that much, do I? I think about food a lot. And it turns out that most of the TV shows I watch have food in them. They probably already had food in them and I never noticed. But when I'm looking and I'm just watching some drama, I'm like, oh, that meal they're eating just looks delicious. Ah, you will be surprised how many social interactions revolve around food, whether it's a snack over morning tea or lunch or going out to dinner or a cup of coffee or tea. And so I was really not confronted by that, but put in this place where I had to be awkward and I felt kind of rude a few times saying, I'll sit with you and we'll chat and all that, but I can't have a drink. And they're like, what's wrong with you? Oh, I'm fasting. And they're like, oh, that's what's wrong with you. Dinner time at our place was really interesting because Lyndall fasted dinners. And so we just forgot about our kids. So they just went hungry for a week. No, they wouldn't let us forget about them. So they're like, what's for dinner? And I thought at the start of the week, I thought I can handle cooking dinner for just the kids, like that, you know, your food, you're preparing, I can handle that. I think that's going to be okay. What I didn't factor in is one of the silliest things you can do if you fast. So if you're going to fast like this, never ever commit to running the barbecue for 250 parents at a school event. Just don't do it. Because I'm like, this is the worst decision I think I've ever made. It was just agony because I'm a bit of a good cook on the barbie and it was pretty nice. If you're wondering what the worst day was, it was day 2 and 3, 4, 5, yep, and 6. So I'm not sure how that helped you if you're considering it, but fasting is tough. But that's the point, right? That's the point. We let go of something we rely on so heavily that we might meet and experience and find God in a deeper way in that. I found strategic thinking into the future, extremely difficult, thinking ahead, with the exception of what I'm going to eat for lunch today. And the answer to that is everything, anything. It doesn't matter. It just has to be food. I also discovered that all the things I've previously read about fasting never touched on, and maybe I need to write about this, they never touched on the fact that you have children in your life. Now, my kids are ferocious eaters. For example, I'm surprised that the biscuit store on our morning tea stand is still got anything in it by the time we finish. Their idea of a fast is the 30-minute stint between snacks. So when we're going fasting, like, yeah, we're on board with that for a good 29 minutes, and then it all falls apart. So I do need to confess, so that brought along a few learning moments for both kids and me, but I do need to confess that one day Sari says to me, she goes, Dad, why are you so angry? And I thought, well, that's all right, because that means I'm not normally angry. So that's a win. And I told her the truth. I said, well, it's Jesus' fault, you know? It's Jesus' fault. It's why I'm angry. And finally on that surface stuff, I lost 6 kilos. So not that that really matters or not, but it's just interesting to think about how the body responds to these sort of things. But here's what I really learned this week. Here's the gold of what I really learned. That when you get to the end of yourself, God is there. And I'm not just talking about food. Food is such a amplifier or magnifier of that. It's so easy to see these things when you're so hungry. But when you think about all of life, all the struggles we face, when you get to the end of yourself and you say, I have nothing left. I can't offer anything in this. It's beyond me. That's when God says, I've got this and I'm here and I'm present. And I found so many times this week, there was that moment because of my physical depletion. I was like, I've got nothing left. And it was like, I do. I do. And that's not of me. That's of something God brought, which I think is a really, really helpful learning or remembrance for us that when you run out of yourself, it's okay. God is there. And if you put yourself in a situation that causes you to run out of yourself, it's okay. God is there. I felt like I experienced what Paul said to the church of Philippi when he says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. It's this fullness of Christ that we're kind of ushered into. I think fasting allows us to see God's action more often and more clearly. So I think you can see God at work more often and more clearly. It's not that God works more when you're fasting. It's that you get to see what God is doing. And things I previously chalked up to my own strength, I realized it's like, no, that's actually not my own strength. That's actually God at work and God doing these things. So it's been a broader awareness in that. The second thing is this interesting balance between devotion and legalism. Devotion and legalism. So a good contrast of that is Jesus was devoted to God. The Jewish leaders, the Jewish lawgivers, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were more legalistic. It was more about what you need to do in order to be good for God. And Jesus is like, no, you just go straight to God. And so telling the church that I was going to fast for 7 days was both the worst decision and the best decision I could have made. It was the best because it held me to this practice that so often I'm like, if it were just me, I would have on the quiet, just put it away. But it helped hold me into that space. But it was the worst because I know I'm going to turn up this morning and people are going to go, how did it go? And I don't want to go, it went till Tuesday. So it was a real helpful thing in that. But legalism says, well, why am I doing it? Am I doing it because I said I would? To fulfill what people's expectations is and their requirements and all of that, or what my own expectations are. Am I doing it to do that? Or am I doing it because I love Jesus? And so it's really helpful balance or challenge in between all this. I'm like, I need to stick to this because I said I would. Huh, hang on. I love Jesus. That's why I'm doing this. I want to grow in devotion to Christ. And I think we swing constantly between legalism. We're drawn to legalism because of our flesh, and Jesus pulls us away and says, no, no, no. Just focus on your devotion to Jesus. And that's what Jesus was talking about. You know, when he's talking, I preached this last week at Burley, but he said, Jesus said, when you fast, wash yourselves, put perfume on yourself, don't tell anyone else what you're doing. And what he was saying that in contrast to the Pharisees, who said, look, it was a Jewish tradition, look, we haven't washed, look how good we are. We haven't put perfume on. That's how good we are. Look how long we've fasted for. And so Jesus is saying, fasting is an act of devotion, not an act of legalism. You achieve nothing in terms of spiritual points, notching them up by what you fast. It's about increasing your devotion to Jesus. And I felt like by the end of it, that my devotion to Christ has increased. I feel a closeness to him, more of a great desperation for him. And my devotion to food has bumped up a couple of notches as well. Third point is waiting in spiritual disciplines leads to breakthroughs. Now, fasting is a spiritual discipline, but there are many, many others that might include prayer or worship or being out in creation or solitude or reading the scriptures. But sometimes we get stuck. Right? We get stuck in life. We get stuck in a rut. We face something that we go, I don't know how to get around it or through it. I don't know what to do with this. And Jesus calls us to starve ourselves of the things we rely on, to starve ourselves of the things we rely on so that he can become that for us. So don't think about food when I say that. So you're in a rut, a difficult place. Jesus says, just limit your reliance on whatever you're relying on, and your reliance will increase in me, and you'll see a way through. You'll be lifted out of that. Fourth, I really starkly saw the separation between flesh and spirit. When you fast, you see it in much clearer detail. Your spirit wants more and more of the Holy Spirit. And it's been the easiest week to find myself wanting to go pray. Like, easy, by a long way. Your flesh wants to be fed by anything and everything else. And we live in flesh bodies. So our spirit is housed in this whole body that is not geared toward needing the Holy Spirit. Instead, we want to feast on other things. Paul said it when he wrote to Romans. He said, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. I think our flesh is the leading cause of our spiritual chaos. So I think all of us, the leading cause of why we aren't where we want to be spiritually is because of our flesh. You're human. That's meant to be that way. But when we deny it, we propel our spirit toward Christ. So when we deny our flesh, when we don't watch the things we might want to watch, we don't do the things we might want to do, we sacrifice those things. It might be food, or it might be coffee, or it might be alcohol, or whatever. We sacrifice those things. It creates this space in us that propels us closer to God, because our spirit is freer of the things that hold our flesh back. Fifthly, this was fascinating, and I'm so thankful. Fasting held me in peace through anxious situations. So it held me in peace through anxious situations. This week was kind of a week, aside from the fasting, this week was like a week like no other. The complexities and the things that happened this week were quite strange and challenging. Zari, who you see this morning, who's well now, she came down with a tummy bug for 2 days in the middle of the week, which always mucks up our lives entirely. It was a huge workload this week. Some weeks are, some weeks aren't. This week was just like, my goodness, how am I going to get through all this? I had that many text messages and phone calls come in that were just far more than I'd normally get, that I'm juggling and trying to put my head around. And there were some really challenging ministry moments in the midst of all that. And normally what would happen is my anxiety would be peaked. It would kind of grow. It would leave me with a sense of like, when will this be finished? It wasn't for me. It wasn't crippling, but it was definitely present. But this week, I haven't had an ounce of anxiety the entire week. Nothing. In a week where I absolutely should have. And I remember being on the phone with a certain situation going, thinking, I should feel really anxious now, but I don't. This is amazing. Maybe it's worth the cost of food. I didn't even get anxious when the guy who was going to bring the meat to our school barbecue was 40 minutes late from when we said we'd start cooking. I was like, I should be freaking out about this, but I'm actually really calm. I don't get it, but I like it. I felt held and secured in a place of peace, that I didn't have to deal with my anxiety because there was none. It was like God just held me in this space. There's a lot of research says that fasting does enormous good for your intermittent fasting, does enormous good for your mental health. There's a lot of research out there. But this was far more than that. I think when I gave up feeding my flesh, my anxiety gave up trying to feed on me. There's such a clear learning in that I want to bring into my future. Sixthly, and there's only seven, so the six of the seven, I was reminded of the cross. Yeah, the cross of Christ. I think it's very hard for us as Christians to, after we've been walking in faith for some time, to relate to the power of the cross. We get it. Mentally, we rely on it, we think about it, but to feel the power and the presence of what Jesus did on the cross for us, that he sacrificed everything, that he endured the most humiliating and painful death to absorb all of our sin, those that were there and every person that came into his body to bury it so that we might have life. I find that at hard times to grapple with and go, I wish I could get the gravity of the situation, but gee, it just sometimes escapes me. What incredible act of love Jesus had for us. He was so devoted to us. It's easier to relate to the cross when you haven't eaten food for 5 days. It really is. I was like, oh, I get it. I probably don't get the fullness of it, but I get more of it. I think fasting for an extended amount of time, it causes you pain, it causes you discomfort, it causes you agony mentally and spiritually. It's this journey that you go through that you feel quite safe in because you know it's not going to be like that forever, but you're also stuck in this place of, this is really uncomfortable and I don't like it. And through it all, through those moments, I just felt the Holy Spirit just sway me to remember the cross. Remember what Jesus did for you on the cross. And the power of that. And that my act of devotion is about this big compared to Jesus' act of devotion to me, but I've got a slither of what it looks like. And then finally, the most significant learning and the most powerful one, and the one that just kind of blew me away. When the church fasts, and so in Burley, I challenged everybody to fast, just like I'm going to challenge you guys to fast by the end of today. But I challenged everybody to fast. When the church fasts, and I'm not talking about individuals, but when the church says we're going to fast and we're going to take it seriously, things move in the spiritual realm just by the fact that the church says we will fast we will sacrifice. It moves things in the spiritual realm. Paul, when he was writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our lifestyles, our comfort levels, we forget this. We can think so easily about the physical, that which we see, and we can completely forget about the spiritual world that is raging around us. But when you deny the flesh, you're propelled into this space of there is a spiritual world and it has a massive impact against the rulers and the authorities and the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we may not be able to see what happens. We may not be able to feel what happens. We may not be able to immediately understand what happens, but God is doing things. And what was fascinating on day five, I've got a small table of guys I meet with every week, and a couple of them weren't there. And so when we finished up, I texted them just to see how they were, see if they're okay, and had some interesting back and forth conversation because a couple of them were fasting as well. And it led to this bubbled out of this conclusion that I arrived at, and it felt like God was saying this, that you're, meaning the church's act of fasting has moved things you cannot see and achieved things you cannot sense yet and accomplished things in the spiritual realm that only I, the Lord God, could do through your devotion. That's why I think fasting above all is an act of faith, because it's acting in faith that God is freed to do the things that God can do. He's empowered by our devotion. And so I feel like God is calling us to fast this week, to fast something. I'm not going to do another 7 days. I think I might die. But I wonder what that is for you. For some of you, it might be a meal or two. Lyndall fasted dinner and treats, snacks, coffee. For others, it might be just coffee or alcohol or sugar or screen time or a non-essential phone apps or a TV streaming service or something else entirely, something that's built into your life that you love. You couldn't do without that. Jesus says, well, maybe you could. When you fast that, watch what I'm going to do. Now, I need to say, do not hurt yourself through this. Do not risk your health or your life. Be wise. If you need to consult a doctor, absolutely please do. And if food is too intimidating, put that to the side. It's not about food, right? It's about a devotion to Jesus. But Jesus says, when you fast. He says, when? Not if. It's like, when you give up stuff for me. And Sandy spoke about the focus that fasting brings. So what will you fast this week? What will you fast? What is God telling you to fast? I think God has more in store for us. Right, we look at where we are. We're in the process of going, all right, what does future ministry look like? What does this space look like? We look around and there's some familiar faces that we don't see, that we miss. You know, there's people that have moved from here and gone to other churches in the past. And part of that grieves us. We understand, but it grieves us. We have a beautiful block, a building project that's come a long way. It's well established, but we need to move that forward. God has a lot more in store for us. It's not that God's like, oh, I'm sorry. Good try, guys. It's like God's like, no, no, no. So much potential. I have so much in store for you. We just have to be hungry enough for it. Just have to be hungry enough for it. And so use this week as a way of praying for the church, praying for the future of the church, praying for yourself, listening to God. Open up their heart to what God wants to say. I think God will deliver. God is a God of deliverance. He delivers from all sorts of things. I think he'll deliver on this because it was him who said, when you fast. So if you didn't like the message this morning, you can blame Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, we are so thankful for your love and your devotion to us. Your love is so deep, your caring so wide. Your kindness and your generosity are so strong. And Lord, forgive us when we have not been hungry for that, when we have not seen that as much as we should. But lead us into this week. Lead us into this week where we might encounter you more powerfully. We might fast, abstain from whatever that thing is in order for you to work more in our lives. Take us on a journey that we may share about that and joy and celebrate what that means. We may grow in our faith and pray for this church. Lord, we do pray for this church. Carry us forward. Carry us onward. The future you have for us, Lord, help us to embrace it with passion and audacity. And so, Lord Spirit, minister to us, especially as we partake in this meal, not a final meal, but this beautiful meal, that you may edify our spirit and edify our body by these elements, Lord Jesus. We ask this in your powerful name, and everybody agreed and said, Amen.